Welcome to Gorgeous Reads on Radio Gorgeous, in association with the books page of Sainsbury's Magazine. For more information, go to sainsburysmagazine.co.uk.
Today with the lovely Dorothy Coombson to discuss her latest novel, When I Was Invisible. Dorothy, really welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
It's lovely to have you here. And I have to tell you, I loved your book.
I found it
totally gripping. Like all of your books, it's a real page turning because you really ramp up the suspense. This is your 11th novel. So tell me, how did the idea for this one come about?
This one came about with the idea, I mean, the tagline is, have you lived the life you're supposed to? And, you know, over time you look through back through your life and you wonder if you've, you know, taken the path that you should have done and if you'd made a different decision at a different point, where you'd be. I know I moved to Australia 10 years ago, nearly 10 years ago now, and came back, moved away from London, came to live in Brighton. And I often wonder if that was the right thing to do, if I should have gone to Australia, if I should have stayed in Australia, if I should have gone back to London. I know people who were over there, English people over there, who came back to England and went essentially back to their lives. Well, I didn't want to do that. So
you reinvented.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that whole thing of, have you lived the life you're supposed to? And I wanted to look at two girls who had virtually the same experiences when they were younger and how they had took very, very different paths.
You tell a story, you know, obviously as writers, we know you have a beginning, middle and end of a story.
Yeah.
But what was great about this book is that you jump all over the place from different parts of the story. So you keep us guessing all the way. How did you plan it?
I wrote their individual stories first.
Right,
separately.
Okay.
With Nika's story, her story actually jumps around in time, whereas Ronnie's is told all the way through chronologically.
Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of see her life story as it unfolded. Whereas with Nika, because so many different things happened to her and different things affected the decisions she'd made, I had to keep jumping around to tell the story at different points and how they kind of coincide with Ronnie's story, because they do start off as friends and then Ronnie does something that Nika can't forgive and they have a very intense relationship. So Nika has been forgiven her for various things over time, but this one thing she can't forgive, and so that's when they go their separate ways. And so,
and we can't say what it is.
Oh no!
It was a really good reveal because I was waiting. Going, what is it? What can she have done? Because they were such good pals.
And then
it kind of revealed itself. It was very clever. And in the book, Ronnie, after this terrible event, which we find about later on, they both try and disappear. They try and leave the lives they had behind.
Yeah.
And Ronnie goes off to be a nun.
Yes.
Which comes as a bit of a shock to Nika when she finds out later on. Did you grow up in a convent or you went to a convent school?
I went to a convent school and I remember a couple of books ago, actually, I was at an event and someone asked me because she said there's often a religious element or mention of religiosity in my books. Did I ever want to become a nun? I was like, never. It never ever occurred to me. But, you know, I did go to a convent high school. And so that kind of, maybe that's influenced my life and I didn't realise it. But with the reason for Ronnie becoming a nun and Nika disappearing, she becomes a minor celebrity, as it were, and then disappears completely and enters a completely different type of life. I wanted to examine the idea of being invisible, and that's why the book's called When I Was Invisible. Mm. But because when you see a nun on the street, you don't actually see her. You just see what she's wearing.
She says that at one point. She's helping someone, and she says that at some point. Nobody expects you to be a person behind
what they're seeing. They don't see you. They just see what you're wearing, you know, the nun or sister garb. And for Ronnie, exactly the same. She's a completely different life, but again, she's living a life that is, again, very invisible. The people you don't actually see or notice when you walk past them in the street, and so...
And it's quite interesting, because I like the contrast that you have, because there's one point where she's going out with this guy who is a footballer who he's so she's kind of a kind of wag type yeah. character, but yeah. she's sort of in the background, but she's also invisible there.
Then yes,
you know,
absolutely.
It's really
yeah.
invisible that she's just a pretty face really hanging on his arm.
Yeah, exactly.
But she has, it's a really miserable experience for her, and then she drops out and she gets, you know, she really becomes invisible there.
Yeah.
And it's quite clever to actually write about that, because it's very difficult actually in life to be invisible, don't you think?
It is actually, and especially nowadays we've got social media and blogs and all these things that help people to become very visible. But even then you kind of, some of it becomes white noise, I think. There's so much of it out there. But with them, they obviously, both of them, make a very concerted effort to become
And it's that whole thing, isn't it, that nobody really knows you, nobody really knows the truth, maybe apart from your best friend. And this is this book, you know, like a lot of your books, it's a book about friendship.
Yeah.
Do you have a close, when I was reading it, do you have a close best friend?
I have several people I'm very close to, yeah.
yeah.
And, you know, you can rely on and... And I've also got my sister, who's a very good friend of mine as well.
Yeah,
as well
I think that's... But those female bonds are so important as we get older, aren't they? I mean, I think your bedrock of yourself and the people that you know, you are your female friends. Yeah. And if something goes wrong with a friendship, it's so painful.
It is painful, and it's really... and that's what they find, you know, when they grow up, when they meet, when they're eight, they think they're going to be friends forever, and that kind of realise that as life isn't that simple, unfortunately, for them particularly. But I think with all of us as well, we kind of, we grow up and we lose our friends. When I was, I did my psychology degree, we discovered that people have very intense friendships until their 20s, when they are at college and their first jobs. And then it kind of tails off because people follow very different paths at that point, you know, and some people go off and have children, some people don't, and then... you get to like mid-30s and suddenly you're looking around for your friendships again, and it's very hard for people to maintain relationships through life, especially when, you know, people move around, have children, get new jobs, you know, get married. It's so friendships are very important in people's lives, but they kind of dip and then peak and then dip and then peak, and then as you get older you kind of realise that you need other people around you, not just your significant other, whether they're male or female, or not just your children, or not just... I don't know.
Yeah, you need
or your work friends. Yeah, exactly. You need people away from the other part of your life.
I'm wondering, sort of, you as a person, because you really don't shy away from writing gritty scenes. Yeah. It's quite, you know, and a lot of the subject matter of this book is quite dark. Mm. You know, these girls really face some properly tough, yeah. very harrowing stuff. But at the bottom of it is this message of forgiveness and love and about connection. Are you quite a romantic at heart? Do you reckon?
That's funny. I've never been asked that. Am I romantic at heart? I actually don't think so. I don't actually know. I mean, like this one with a lot of other books, I like to challenge myself, and I like to find out about people's lives, because, you know, some of the things, I went out with a couple of people last week and one of them was telling me a story from her life, and I said to her, if I put that in a book, no one will believe it.
Well, this is it. It's life is always stranger than
exactly.
fiction, isn't it?
I mean, no one will believe it. And I like finding out those sort of stories, and I like investigating, you know, with Ronnie and Nika's story. There was a couple of subjects that I was really interested in, and again, very surprised by and humbled by, you know, the experiences that people go through and how they deal with it.
Did you do quite a lot of research for it?
Talking to people, yeah.
I
did do some of the things that Nika has to do. And I didn't join a convent, obviously.
Yeah, but you've kind of been there by proxy.
Yeah. But yeah, I like writing about those subjects, you know, because you find out about people, and there's so many people who behave badly and then blame it on something else, and on, you know, their past or something that's happened to them. And then there are other people who have the same thing happen to them, who are just actually essentially good people who don't.
Yeah, and
act out.
And it's that thing about becoming a victim, isn't it? If something terrible happens to you, how do you deal with it? How do you go through life with it? Do you become a victim, or do you... And it's quite interesting. I quite like the idea of people repeating the same patterns.
Yeah.
There's one point where Nika says, you know, I just replaced you with other people who, you know, came into my life who were, you know, equally
absolutely
untrustworthy.
Yeah.
You know, she says that to a character. So it's very interesting, that whole thing about people repeating patterns and...
Absolutely.
Having to get closure.
And also there's a lot of the idea of victim blaming, which I think most of us think we don't do, and most of us think we're supportive. And as both Ronnie and Nika find out through, you know, that they aren't necessarily believed when they're told, when they tell about various things that have happened to them, they aren't believed straight away, or people kind of essentially kind of try and find out how they played a part in what happened to them.
I think that is really kind of key in the book, isn't it? That they're not believed, and that's just a heartbreaking thing when somebody tells something in confidence and then they're not believed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's just devastating, and that has devastating...
And it's all sorts of things. It's not just one particular thing. There's various different things that they try and confess about or reveal, and people just don't believe them or don't want to believe them.
Tell me how you write. What's your writing process?
Oh, it's completely crazy. Each time it completely changes. Sometimes I have the idea. Sometimes I start writing without knowing who's going to be the person who did it or knowing the ending. Sometimes I start at the end and then work backwards. It varies. It depends. Actually depends on the story and the people involved and the story involved, because sometimes you need to have the end in sight before you can start, and sometimes you need to have the beginning
sorted.
Yeah,
before you...
or the middle bit where you know where they're going to be, where it's going to be the crisis point before you can go, right, how do they get to this point and how they're going to move on from that point. So,
I mean, it's such a technical process, writing, particularly writing a book with quite a rich plot, and your plots are. Do you find it easier or harder as you the more you get into writing? Because you do learn a craft the more you go on. How do you find that process now? Do you find it more challenging, or do you... Because it's obviously not easy, but...
It's not easy, and, you know, each time I start a book, I always think, oh, it's going to be easy. I'll be sorted. I can do it. And then I get to a point, I go, oh, my God, what am I doing? This is really hard, and it's not what I thought it was going to be, and I've got to completely change it. And I often will speak to people, you know, about in that situation, and then you find out that what you learn from the media, from telly, from films, from... you know, interviews in magazines and stuff, is not at all what the people who are going through these subjects, you know, are
actually experiencing.
So then you have to go, okay, so that's not going to work in that plot, so then you have to go back and rewrite it. So, so it doesn't never gets easy.
Is it ending them the hardest often?
I would have done a lot of the end and then have to go back and unpick it all, because... It won't work once you get to
the character. So, I'm interested. How did you get to be a writer? Because, you know, I know that you wrote from when you were young, as a lot of writers do. But where's your journey come up to this point?
Well, I used to write short stories a lot and bits and pieces.
And then you were a journalist.
And then I was a journalist and on magazines for a long time. And I went to Australia and I was worked on a magazine over there. And then. I was made redundant, so I could have got another job, which is where the whole have I lived life I was supposed to thing. But I didn't want to. I wanted to come back to England. So I finished off my fourth book, Marshmallows for Breakfast, and came back to England and then moved to Brighton.
Tell me, what are you writing on? What are you working on next?
Oh, another book.
Another book, she says. She says the deadline comes.
Looms. Yeah, another book,
Closer. Do you write quite fast, though? You've got your idea. When you focus, do you just go...
It's not so much the writing. I need to write it in my head first, and then I need to put it on paper, and then I need to edit. The editing is actually the main thing for me. I just get everything down, and then I go back and I rewrite, and I'm ruthless with everything that's...
Was that, you know, if you would give advice to writers, is that your advice to get it down.
Yeah.
Get it writ, then get it right. You know,
yeah, exactly. Rather than this whole, because I know people, I mean, people write in different ways, but I know people get bogged down in making sure that this particular sentence is right. And I was like, well, you know, once you've got the whole book, you'll see if it fits in and if it's right or not. You can then rewrite it rather than sitting there slaving over it and the rest of it's kind of just in the ether.
Yeah, interesting though. But what if you were going to say to one thing that you love most about being a writer? I mean, because obviously it's quite a hard job. But what is the thing that you love most about it?
I think hearing from people who say that the book has helped them or touched them in some way.
And you do have legions of fans. I mean, your books are incredibly popular. You have a lot, a hardcore loyal fan base, don't you? And is it, do you hear from your fans a lot?
I hear from people who read my books, yes, and they do often say, you know, that a book has helped them more. It's made them understand something, and, you know, I know one of my books, Marshmallows for Breakfast, actually, I've got the most emails about that book. It's not the most well-known of my books, but most people who've read it, a lot of people who read it, emailed me and sort of like said how it helped them to talk to other people about things that happened to them, and other people saying that it made them help them understand what had happened to somebody close to them, and it's really humbling when you hear that.
Radio Gorgeous.